Inshallah, we'll have the lessons of Riyadu Salihin, inshallah, in English. There's a request to come closer to the front, inshallah, when we finish our salah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله my respected brothers and elders last week we started this chapter Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi after discussing the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a servant then Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this chapter and the main purpose of this chapter is to inform that when it comes to establishing okay, whether someone is a Muslim or someone is not a Muslim. It doesn't matter about their practices. You know, sometimes you have footballers, you have celebrities, you have others who claim to be Muslim, but then certain actions they do, certain boxers, famous boxers, they convert to Islam, but then they have many actions still which are left over from when they were not a Muslim. So people say, oh, this person is not really a Muslim. You can't really call this person a Muslim. So the whole purpose of these ahadith is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that we, as long as somebody says they're Muslim and as long as they fulfill the fara'id, they perform their salah, they give zakat, they go for hajj, they do the necessary things, then we will call them Muslim. In our day and age, we have many who are Muslim who don't even do these fundamental obligations. But as long as they claim to be a Muslim, we will accept it. And that's why in the community of Medina, there were many people who were hypocrites, who were munafiqoon, who claimed to be Muslim, but in reality they were kafir. They actually did not believe in Allah. It wasn't like a munafiq in the sense where their a'mal were weak. One is amali munafiq and one is i'tiqadi munafiq. I'tiqadi munafiq means a person who actually is a kafir. They don't believe in Allah, but they will show that they are Muslim for certain reasons. Obviously in Medina, the community was Muslim, so they wanted, or the authority you could say, the higher power was Muslim, so they wanted to blend in, to take advantage of that. And then you have amali munafiq. Allah Ta'ala protect us, many of us, Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us from these qualities, but Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned about the amali munafiq, that someone who is not a hypocrite in terms of their beliefs, yet is a munafiq and hypocrite in terms of their actions. And the three main signs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned: Ayatul Munafiqi thalathatun, idha haddatha kadhaba, wa idha wa'ada akhlafa, wa idha tumina khana. There are three signs of a munafiq, of a hypocrite. Idha haddatha kadhaba, when he speaks, he lies, he has a habit of lying. Wa idha wa'ada akhlafa, when he makes a promise, he breaks it. If he gives someone his word, he breaks it. Wa idha tumina khana, when you trust him with something, he will do khiyanat. He will always break that trust. Basically, you can never trust the person. So these are three signs of a hypocrite. Anyway, so the point is that whenever someone shows the actions of Islam or says that they are a Muslim, we're supposed to take them at face value. And it's not our job to judge their internal state. We judge them by the outward state. But this person says they're a Muslim, that's it, we'll take their word for it. So you can say this chapter is more to do with hukam, governors, judges, rulers, Islamic qadis. وعن أبي عبد الله طارق بن أشيم رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من قال لا إله إلا الله وكفر بما يعبد من دون الله حرم ماله ودمه وحسابه على الله تعالى رواه مسلم. سيدنا أبو عبد الله طارق بن أشيم رضي الله تعالى عنه, he narrates that I heard رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, whoever says لا إله إلا الله and they reject everything which is worshipped apart from Allah. Jisne la ilaha illallah ka iqrar kiya, kalima ka iqrar kiya, aur Allah Ta'ala ke siwa baqi ma'budon ki nafi ki. And he rejects every other god except for Allah Ta'ala. Haruma maluhu wa damuhu. Then his wealth and his health become sacred, sanctified. Becomes haram. Meaning no one can harm him, no one can take from his wealth. وَحِسَابُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and his reckoning, his hisab will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning if he is lying in his claim of Islam, then it's not our job to judge, we will leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَنْ أَبِي مَعْبَدَ الْمِقْدَادَ بْنِ الْأَسْوَدِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ قَالَ قُلْتُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ لَقِيتُ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ فَاقْتَتَلْنَا فَضَرَبَ إِحْدَى يدي بالسيف فقطعها ثم لاذ مني بشجرة فقال أسلمت لله أقتله يا رسول الله بعد أن قالها فقال لا تقتله فقلت يا رسول الله قطع إحدى يدي ثم قال ذلك بعدما قطعها فقال لا تقتله فإن قتلته فإنه بمنزلتك قبل أن تقتله وإنك بمنزلته قبل أن يقول كلمته التي قال. So Sayyidina Abu Ma'bad Miqdad ibn Aswad radiallahu anhu narrates that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, agar main kisi shakhs se milun maidan-e-karzar par, maidan-e-jang par, aur hum ek dusre se ladai kare aur wo kafir hai aur main musalman hoon, aur phir usne apne talwar se mere haath par mara aur ek haath bhi kaat diya usne, phir uske baad main ghalib ho jaun, aur jab main ghalib ho jaun to wo ek darakht ke niche ja ke wo haber chahe aur phir kahe ke aslamtu lillahi, main islam laya Allah taala par, main musalman ban gaya, matlab hum maidan e karzar pe hai, ye kafir shakhs hai, isne mere sath ladai bhi ki aur phir mera ek haath bhi kaat diya, phir ja ke kehta hai ke main musalman hoon, تو میں اس شخص کو یا رسول اللہ اس کو میں ماروں یا نہ ماروں, اس کو میں قتل کروں یا نہ قتل کروں یا چھوڑ دوں. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ اس کو مت قتل کرو. میں نے دوبارہ کہا یا رسول اللہ اس نے میرا ایک ہاتھ بھی کاٹ دیا, تو پھر اس کے بعد میں اس کو چھوڑ دوں؟ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے دوبارہ ارشاد فرمایا کہ اس کو مت قتل کرو, اس کو چھوڑ دو. اگر تم نے اس کو قتل کر لی تو وہ تمہارے جگہ پہ ہے, مطلب ہاں گویا کہ وہ مسلمان ہے اور تم نے مسلمان کو قتل کیا ہے. So this hadith, again same point, that I will just quickly go through these ahadith, they all mentioning the same points, that Rasulullah sallallahu, a person asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, I meet a non-believer, a non-Muslim on the battlefield, and I fight him. And we're fighting each other and it's very intense, and he strikes one of my hands with his sword and he actually cuts my arm off. However, then I overpower him. When I overpower him, he takes shelter underneath a tree and then he says, Aslamtu lillahi. I've become a Muslim now. So when I'm overpowering him and now he knows he's going to die, he says, Aslamtu lillahi. I've become a Muslim. Ya Rasulullah, should I kill this person or should I leave this person? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't kill him. I said, Ya Rasulullah, he cut one of my hands off and he wanted to kill me before this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't kill him. Because if you kill him, then he is in your position before you killed him. Meaning you're a Muslim, so it's as if you've killed a Muslim. And you are in his position before he said the words that he said. Meaning before he said the kalima, what position was he in? He was a non-Muslim. Rasulullah is saying, you are in that position. If you kill him now, you are in the position he was in before he said the kalima. Meaning, it's as if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, your iman is in danger by killing this person who claims to be a Muslim. So it's a very serious thing. As soon as somebody says, I'm a Muslim, automatically his wealth is haram upon you. You cannot, in a wrongful manner, take his wealth. Similarly, his blood is haram upon you. You can't touch him. You can't do anything to him. Right? So he's protected with the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's haram to harm this person. Except, like in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, illa bihaqqi al-Islam. Except through the right of Islam, that this person is a Muslim but he's done something to me. And now the Qadi says, well, you can take whatever he owes you back of him, or he's harmed you, you can harm him back. So this is actually a haqq. Otherwise, if there's no haqq, you're not allowed to touch him. He's protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وعن أسامة بن زيد رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال بعثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الحرقة من جهينة فصبحنا القوم على مياههم ولحقت أنا ورجل من الأنصار رجلا منهم فلما غشيناه قال لا إله إلا الله فكف عنه الأنصاري وطعنته برمحي حتى قتلته فلما قدمنا المدينة بلغ ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لي يا أسامة أقتلته بعدما قال لا إله إلا الله قلت يا رسول الله إنما كان متعوذا فقال أقتلته بعدما قال لا إله إلا الله فما زال يكررها علي حتى تمنيت أني لم أكن أسلمت قبل ذلك اليوم متفق عليه وفي رواية فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أقال لا إله إلا الله وقتلته قلت يا رسول الله إنما قالها خوفا من السلاح قال فلا شققت عن قلبه حتى تعلم أقالها أم لا فما زال يكررها حتى تمنيت أني أسلمت يومئذ. This is the hadith of Sayyidina Usama radiallahu anhu. I mentioned last week Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu ma'ishad firmate ke Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne mujhe ek jamaat ke saath bheja Banu Juhayna qabile ke saath ladai karne ke liye. To humne waha ja ke Juhayna qabila ko subah ja ke hum unse takraye aur lad pade, aur jab hum unse lad rahe the to main aur ansar mein se ek aadmi, matlab hum dono ne जुहैना कबीले का एक आदमी के साथ हमने लड़ाई शुरू की. तो उसने फलम्मा गशैना हु, जब हमने उसको मतलब करीब, हाँ उसको करीब था कि हम इस पर जी गालिब आ जाए, तो उसने कहा ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह, तो कलिमा इरशाद फरमा दिया. तो फकफ़ अन्हु अंसारी, तो जब उसने कलिमा इरशाद फरमा दिया ज़ुबान से, तो मेरे साथी जो थे अंसारी उन्होंने अपना हाथ उठा लिया, फ़ौरन अपना हाथ उठा लिया, मतलब छोड़ दिया. और मैंने इसको अपने नेज़े से मार दिया, मैंने इसको अपने नेज़े से मार दिया. हत्ता क़त्लतु, हत्ता कि ये मतलब मर गया. फलम्मा क़दिमना अल-मदीना, जब हम वापस मदीना को लौटे, तो बलग ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, यह खबर रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम के पास पहुंचा. तो रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने मुझसे इरशाद फरमाया, या उसामा, ए उसामा, اقتلته بعد ما قال لا اله الا الله, इसने ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह कह दिया, फिर उसके बाद तुमने इसको कत्ल कर दिया. तो मैंने कहा या रसूलुल्लाह انما كان متعودا, ये तो सिर्फ पना मांगने के लिए कहा था, अपने जान बचाने के लिए कहा था, इसीलिए इसने जुबान से कलिमा कहा था, सिर्फ जान बचाने के लिए. रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने दोबारा इरशाद फरमाया, तुमने इसको कत्ल कर दिया बाद इसके कि इसने कहा ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह जुबान से. और रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम इस जुमले को दोहराते रहे, अकतलतहु बाद मा क़ाला ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह, ही सेड, जो उसने जुबान से ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह कह दिया फिर भी तुमने इसको कत्ल कर लिया. हत्ता तमन्नैतु अन्नी लम अकुन अस्लमतु क़ब्ल ذلك اليوم. सैयदना उसामा कहते हैं, यहाँ तक कि मैं सोच रहा था कि काश मैं आज से पहले मुसलमान ना होता, कि आज मैं मुसलमान होता था, कि ये जो इतना बड़ा एक चीज़ हुआ, अल्लाह ताला मुझे माफ़ फरमा देते. सो दिस इज़ द फेमस हदीस ऑफ सैयदना उसामा, विच इज़ द मेन हदीस कोटेड हियर, दैट he mentions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent us to fight this group from the Juhayna tribe. So when we went, we met them in the morning near where their source of water was, where their well was. So when we were fighting them, there was myself and one of my colleagues from the Ansar, a Sahabi from the Ansar. So we encountered this person, this enemy combatant, you can say, until we actually overcame him. So we overcame him and we were about to kill him. And just before we were about to kill him, he said, La ilaha illallah. He said the kalima. When he said the kalima, my Ansari friend, he stopped straight away. He didn't carry on. However, I took my spear and I pierced him with my spear until he died. So when we reached Medina, the news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah said to me, Oh Usama, you killed him after he said La ilaha illallah? I said, Ya Rasulullah, he only said it to save his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, You killed him after he said La ilaha illallah. And he kept on saying it. You killed him after he said La ilaha illallah. Sayyidina Usama said, I became so worried and so upset from this that Rasulullah is very angry. They said, to the extent that I wished I did not become a Muslim before today. That today I would have become Muslim and this sin would have been forgiven from me. How am I going to get rid of this burden now? And in another narration it mentions that Rasulullah said to him, did you kill him after he said La ilaha illallah? So I said, Ya Rasulullah, innama qalaha khawfan min as-silah. He only said it out of fear of the sword. Meaning he only said it out of fear of death. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفَلَا شَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبِهِ حَتَّى تَعْلَمَ أَقَالَهَا أَمْ لَا. Why didn't you rip open his heart to find out? That was the reason why he said it. So it's such a serious thing. One person's iman to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very valuable. And this is what the lesson Rasulullah is teaching here, that it doesn't matter who it is. If Abu Jahl, the enemy of Islam, became a Muslim, Rasulullah would have been over the moon. He wouldn't have said, no, not you. It's okay, I don't want you to become Muslim. I want someone else. You've done too much damage. This was not the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, and this is what the Sahaba inherited. And the pious predecessors, the great leaders of the Muslims, they inherited this. That when a person becomes Muslim, al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qabla, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Islam totally finishes everything before it. Soon as a person becomes a Muslim, like recently we had this famous person on the internet becoming a Muslim. And he's made some comments and he's this rich guy and he said some things. And so he became a Muslim, people saying, oh, this guy's not really a Muslim. Uncle is, mashallah. Uncle is with the times, mashallah. So he said, people are saying he's not even a Muslim because this person's done this and he's done this and he's done this and he's like this and he's like that. But that's not our job. All of these ahadith here are showing, as soon as somebody says they're a Muslim, it's not our job to go into their heart and find out what's their intention. Maybe they're saying it for this, maybe they're saying it for that. We're supposed to welcome them as a Muslim. The rights and responsibilities of a Muslim straight away come on top of them. And our rights as a Muslim to fulfill their rights also become necessary straight away. Giving salam, acts of kindness, inquiring about them, if they're ill, going and visiting them. All of these rights straight away become onto our shoulders. We can't then say, oh, I'm not sure if this person is like this or like that. So we should be open-hearted. We've got this kind of Allah protectors, this kind of racist kind of mentality, Allah protectors, that if it's people from India, subcontinent, or Arabs or something, we understand they can be Muslim. Someone who is from a different background, English person, so now they're interested in Islam, they want to learn about Islam, we're not very welcoming. We're not very welcoming. We've kind of become more like, oh yes, you know, or even if they say they're a Muslim, we're always very wary, very cautious. And which are these brothers, they just walk around lost for months, for years sometimes. And they say nobody's supporting us, nobody's helping us. And then people with the wrong mindsets will take them on and will indoctrinate them and tell them the wrong things. So we need to always have the open arms. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see his fikr, his concern, that every person's Islam is valuable. Look, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to his uncle Abu Talib? Oh my dear uncle, just say La ilaha illallah. Don't do anything else. Just say La ilaha illallah so on the day of Qiyamah I can intercede for you in front of Allah Ta'ala. That my uncle said La ilaha illallah. So all he wanted, just give me, you know, iman. After that, whatever you do it slowly, you know. But just give me the iman. And that is enough because that's your najat, that's your salvation. Because even if you're the worst Muslim, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say in the hadith? If you're the lowest Muslim, and it's a hadith that made Rasulullah laugh, where he talked in Tirmidhi, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah has brought the hadith, that the last person Allah Ta'ala will release from Jahannam, the last person. After him, nobody else is getting out of Jahannam. So he will come out of Jahannam and he will be so surprised. It's like someone who's been in jail for, you know, like there's a discussion now about letting this aggressive guy in jail, letting him out. Bichara, he's been in jail for 40-50 years. What's his name? Charles Bronson. So, you know, people are saying it, BBC News, they're saying he doesn't even know how to use card machines and this and that because he's been in jail for 40-50 years. He was before all this technology. So this guy's going to come out of Jahannam and he's been in Jahannam for as long as he can remember. Maybe hundreds of thousands of years, maybe. He's the last person to come out of Jahannam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, he will come out and he will be unsure what to do. So he will slowly start walking away from the walls of Jahannam, thinking, what if Allah ta'ala puts me back in there? Is it real? Is this real? And then he will speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, think any, do you remember your life in the world? He will say, yes, O Allah, I remember the life in the world. So do you remember the blessings I gave you in the world? He'll say, yes, O Allah, I remember everything. He said, think of all the most amazing blessings that you could possibly imagine. And think of them for yourself. Like the nicest cars and buildings and houses. Think of all of those things. So he will think of everything. He'll spend a long time thinking of what he wants. It's like, you know, when someone's in jail and you say, think of a chocolate bar. Or think of something that Bichara has not had in a long time. He can imagine, he can taste it in his mouth. Because he hasn't had it in such a long time. So Allah Ta'ala will say, think of all the amazing blessings that you experienced in the world. He will be thinking about so many things. And then Allah Ta'ala will say, have you thought about it? He'll say, yes, O Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala will say, do you know what you want in your mind? Have you got it? A picture of everything you want? He'll say, yes, O Allah. Allah Ta'ala will say, you will get all of that and 10 times more than that. And then he will look at Allah Ta'ala and say, O Allah, atasharu bi wa anta al-malik? Are you joking with me, O Allah? You're the king and you're joking with me. You're pulling my leg. Meaning he won't believe it. So in his astonishment, he'll say to Allah, O Allah, aap mujhse mazak kar rahe. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, and Rasulullah smiled, a very big smile. That look at this person, he's so shocked that he's getting all of these things. And then Allah Ta'ala will say, yes, go into Jannah, and your Jannah will be 10 times the size of the dunya. And this is the last person to enter Jannah. So even if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and similarly this should be our mentality, that if we can get someone to say the kalima, then even if they're the last person to enter Jannah, even if they're the last person, still at the end of the day, they will get out of Jahannam. So who are we to say, oh, this person like this, and this person's, you know, maybe I shouldn't talk to them. Look at, and especially those people who have are the most aggressive against Islam, and who are very opinionated against Islam, and who have all these kind of negative thoughts against Islam. When they become Muslim, they're the most strongest in the defense of Islam. And look from the time of the Sahaba, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abu Dhar, Sayyidina Amr ibn As, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid. Many of the great Sahaba, they had very strong opinions. They were anti-Islam. And when they became Muslim, they were the greatest protectors of Islam, greatest defenders of Islam. Maybe we know we need those people. And we see even now, these people when they become Muslim, is a big boost for Islam and for the sake of Islam. Inshallah, I'll just do the last one or two hadith. I'm going to quickly do them because it's the same theme. So next week we do the next chapter, inshallah. وعن جندب بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث من المسلمين إلى قوم من المشركين وأنهم التقوا. فكان رجل من المشركين إذا شاء أن يقصد إلى رجل من المسلمين فقصد له فقتله. وأن رجلا من المسلمين قصد غفلته. وكنا نتحدث أنه أسامة بن زيد فلما رفع عليه السيف قال لا إله إلا الله فقتله. فجاء البشير إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فسأله وأخبره حتى أخبره خبر الرجل كيف صنع. فدعاه فسأله فقال لما قتلته؟ قال فقال يا رسول الله أوجع في المسلمين وقتل فلانا وفلانا وسمى له نفرا وإني حملت عليه. فلما رأى السيف قال لا إله إلا الله. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أقتلته؟ قال نعم. قال فكيف تصنع بلا إله إلا الله إذا جاءت يوم القيامة؟ قال يا رسول الله استغفر لي. قال وكيف تصنع بلا إله إلا الله إذا جاءت يوم القيامة؟ فجعل لا يزيد على أن يقول كيف تصنع بلا إله إلا الله إذا جاءت يوم القيامة. رواه مسلم. So this hadith, again, very similar hadith. The Sahabi is saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent a group of Muslims to fight against the mushrikun, the idol worshippers. And when they met, there was a person from the mushrikeen, a person from the idol worshippers, who was any Muslim he wanted to fight, he would fight them and kill them. He was very strong, very brave. Any Muslim he faced, he would kill them, he would finish them off. Until one of the Muslims actually came in front of this man, and then the Muslim man defeated this man, defeated him, as in he overpowered him. And this Sahabi says, we were talking that it was Usama ibn Zayd. Meaning nobody could beat this non-Muslim man except Usama bin Zayd. He managed to somehow defeat him. So just when he lifted his sword above his head, the man said, La ilaha illallah. Still Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu killed him. So then the news bearer, the person with the news, the messenger, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah asked him, what happened? How did the battle go? The Sahabi informed him, and he also informed him about Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd and what he had done. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called this Sahabi. It doesn't mention the Sahabi's name here, but it says that we were thinking it was Usama ibn Zayd. So Rasulullah said to him, why did you kill him? So he said, ya Rasulullah, he was hurting the Muslims. He was killing this person, he was killing this person, he was killing this person. And Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd mentioned a few people's names, that this man killed him, and he killed him, and he killed him, and he killed him. He killed all of these Muslims. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he said, that's why I attacked him and I killed him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you killed him. He said, yes. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, what will you do with this kalima la ilaha illallah when it comes to support him or when it comes in his defense on the day of Qiyamah? What will you do then? The man said la ilaha illallah. What will you do when la ilaha illallah comes in his defense on the day of Qiyamah? So then the sahabi, he said, ya Rasulullah, istaghfirli. Ya Rasulullah, please, forgive me. Ask Allah to forgive me. Do istighfar for me. Ask Allah to forgive me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't answer that. He said, what will you do with la ilaha illallah when it comes to support this person on the day of Qiyamah? What will you do? And he kept on repeating it. What will you do with the la ilaha illallah when it comes on the day of Qiyamah? Person has said la ilaha illallah is sacred. And it's not just about when they become Muslim. It's general dealings with the Muslim. Anywhere, harming, hurting, swearing, abusing, the things that we talked about many, many times. Backbiting. This person is a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting them. If we harm them, Allah ta'ala will take their revenge. If not in the dunya, in the akhirah. We'll stand in front of Allah confident that I used to read my 5-time salah with jamaat. I used to fast in the month of Ramadan. I used to recite my Quran. But we stand there and Allah is angry with us. How dare you attack this servant of mine and that servant of mine? You backbited about this person. You swore at this person. You lied about this person. You stole from this person. You cheated this person. You deceived this person. And I am here today to take their revenge. Allah Ta'ala protect us. This is a very grave situation. وعن عبد الله بن عتبة بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سمعت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يقول إن ناسا كانوا يؤخذون بالوحي في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن الوحي قد انقطع وإنما نأخذكم الآن بما ظهر لنا من أعمالكم فمن أظهر لنا خيرا أمناه وقربناه وليس لنا من سريرته شيء الله يحاسبه في سريرته ومن أظهر لنا سوءا لم نأمنه ولم نصدقه وإن قال إن سريرته حسنة رواه البخاري. Last حديث إن شاء الله. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Utbah bin Mas'ud, he mentions that I heard the great Sahabi Umar ibn al-Khattab, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, saying that there used to be people in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam, we used to catch them out through revelation, through wahi. That if they were enemies of Islam or if they had bad intentions, we used to catch them out, we used to know, find out through wahi. Allah Ta'ala would reveal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, this person is a munafiq, this person is intending harm for you. Like in the Quran, many times these are mentioned to Rasulullah, that watch out for this person, beware of this person, beware of these people. He said, however, now the wahi has stopped, there's no more wahi. Now what will we do? وَإِنَّمَا نَأْخُذُكُمْ مِمَا ظَهَرَ لَنَا. Now we will only take people based on their apparent actions. That if they show us that they are good, then, meaning if they show us good actions, Iman, Islam, Salah, Zakat, then we will أَمِنَّاهُ, we will give them safety, وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ, we will bring them near to us. However, and وَلَيْسَ لَنَا مِن صَرِيرَتِهِ شَيْءٌ. We're not going to go into their internal state of things. That's not our job. In the time of Rasulullah, Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala would sometimes disclose information to us. Now that's not going to happen anymore. Now we're just going to judge you off the apparent. If you show us you're good and you're a Muslim and you're trying to do good actions, we will bring you close to us, we will give you safety, we will give you shelter. And Allah will judge that person in regards to his private life. And whoever shows us evil actions, then we will not give them any safety and we will not believe them. Meaning if someone shows evil actions, then we will judge them based on their evil actions. If someone shows good actions, good intentions, we will judge them based on that. So this is how we should be in this day and age. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu mentions, if somebody shows us evil actions, we will judge them for that even if his internal state is good. It doesn't matter to us. That's not our job to go into his internal state. We just judge you by what you show. If you show us bad actions, if you show that you're not a Muslim, we will take that to be the case. If you show you're a Muslim, if you show you're trying to please Allah Ta'ala, we will take that to be the case and we will leave the hidden state to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the point of all of these ahadith and how we can benefit from them, firstly the value of a Muslim, very important. The importance of a Muslim in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, the importance of Iman in the sight of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Secondly, judging people, the Iman, we should never judge people's Iman. It's very hard. And nowadays people are judging people's iman. This person is not a Muslim. People will very quickly say, oh, these people are kafir, these people are not a Muslim. Muslims are calling other Muslims kafir. This group is kafir, that group is kafir. Look how dangerous it is. A person who was a kafir, who was killing the Muslims, Rasulullah is saying, how dare you kill that person? Did you go inside his heart? Could you identify? So imagine how dangerous a statement it is to call someone a kafir, whereas they're a Muslim. Imagine the damage that will do. I remember reading, when we were in madrasa studying, I remember reading in a book once, the hadith, and a scholar had explained that whoever calls someone a kafir, whoever calls someone a kafir, then this loves of kafir is so powerful that it will affect either the one who it was called to or the one who said it. Meaning, if the one you call kafir was not a kafir, then the word will come back to you. It's very dangerous. Without thinking things through, just labeling people, this person not a Muslim, not a Muslim, not a Muslim. Gee, we shouldn't do this, rather we should take everyone to be Muslim, unless there's very clear signs or very clear statements made by the person and the scholars mention it, then we should be careful. Even then we should say Allah knows best. Very, very, very careful. Allah Ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. SubhanAllah.